Heavenly Father, we worship you. Bless your name, for you're such a good God. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come and share the precious word of God. I do not take it lightly. I just come ducking under the anointing of my fathers and mommy as I come to preach and to share this word, this short word, that you have mercy upon me and on us in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, O God, that the heavens will be open, that the word will flow forth like streams of living water. Lord, it will go to do an eternal work in the hearts and lives of men. In the name of Jesus, I pray, O Lord, for your unction. I pray, O Lord, for your help upon my infirmities, that, Lord, they will not hinder me in the name of Jesus, that indeed that which you have spoken unto me will be spoken forth as you have spoken it in the name of Jesus. We worship and we bless you. Come and have your way. Come and let your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share something called God's Righteousness Revealed. Amen. God's Righteousness Revealed. That's the title that God gave to me. And as I was thinking about this and praying and preparing, the Lord was speaking to me. We have not yet seen God's righteousness truly revealed as it is supposed to be, as God intended it to be. I know in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we saw it revealed. Amen. It was something that had never been seen before. A man came, they said, what a word is this? They saw the love of God in action. They saw the power of God in action. They saw God in man. And this is something that is in the heart of God to make manifest. The Bible talks about him making manifest his holy arm. Praise the Lord. To make that manifest once again. If you look in the world today, you will know that we desperately need it. Amen. It's not something that that's not a small statement. We really do need it. Praise the Lord. Let's start with the scriptures. Romans chapter 1 from verse 16. Yes, Romans. Yes, sir. Shall we read together? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The next verse, please. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. The world hasn't seen the righteousness of God revealed yet. Praise the Lord. When the world looks at the church, what do they see? They see something contemptible at the moment. They don't see the righteousness of God. They see something that is not to be respected. They see something that when they look at righteousness, when you talk about righteousness, they see they look at us and they see, well, the best of what they see in the church is, they think it is comparable to the best of what they have themselves. They give alms to the poor. They also, you know, they do good works. They do different things. They see these things. And the world does not have respect for this church that is on the earth at the moment. This is not the church that the Lord indeed has, that God indeed has to reveal to the world. Praise the Lord. I remember a short story that I read some time ago, a long time ago. There was a husband and a wife. And the husband was not a Christian, but the wife was a Christian. And they loved each other. And every day, you know, she would try to encourage him, you know, to get born again, get saved, come to church, you know, on and so forth. And one day he sat her down. And in love, he said, "Look, you tell me to come to church. You tell me to be a Christian. But what do you do that I don't do? I don't smoke. Do you smoke? No, you don't smoke. I don't drink. Do you drink? I don't drink. Maybe just a little at Christmas, that's all. You do that too. We don't cheat. I don't cheat. Do you cheat? You don't cheat. I don't." So he went through a long list of different things. And they saw that, I don't do that. You don't do that. So the question I have for you is, what do you have that I don't have? I can't see anything. And she thought for a long time, and she simply didn't say anything. She said, she apologized to him and said she's sorry, that from now on she's going to make the difference known to him. She will live the difference. She will live what Christ died for. She will live it. So, we have a form of godliness. Praise the Lord. We have a form of godliness, but the power is denied thereof. Praise the Lord. And what I would like to say is this. You see, God, in his infinite mercy, he sees these differences, and he's not happy with it. I want us to see another scripture. Let's look at Isaiah 56, verse 1. Thus said the Lord God. Thus said the Lord. Keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near, and my righteousness to be revealed. Praise the Lord. In a sense, you would say that this is already done. We're born again. We have his righteousness and so on. But in a wider sense, what we need to understand is that yes, we got born again. Yes, we are born again. We're saved. But it's on the inside. It's not something that anybody could look at and see, yes, and confirm. It's on the inside. Now, when we got born again, what happened? The life of God came. It flushed out the sin from our spirits. And it gave us this essential connection to God. We hear it every Tuesday. We are connected to him now. How are we connected? We have this life connection, an umbilical cord, as it were, through which we can receive his life, his power, his communion, and his fellowship. And it's supposed to flow constantly. It doesn't just flow when we're in church. It's supposed to flow constantly now that we are born again and we have that now, that connection. However, we do understand that sin hinders it, as we teach. Sin either blocks it completely or partially. But with faith in the blood of Jesus, we are to keep it clean and open, and we can have that constant connection with him all the time. Praise the Lord. But no one can see that. No one can see that except you on the inside. So what God wants to do is that he wants his righteousness to be revealed. We have that right standing revealed to you on the inside, but we need the right standing by faith to translate to right doing by faith. Something on the outside that men can see and men can connect with and know that there is something that is happening. Praise the Lord. This is very important. Praise the Lord. So we are looking for this right standing, or this right doing on the outside. Now, What we need to understand is this. The problem is that the world has its own righteousness. And that righteousness that the world has, it's something, you know, when somebody wants to do good in the world, he has it in his heart, he gets up and he does it, you know. He doesn't need to know God. Praise the Lord. He doesn't need to go to church. They just stand up and they do good. And, you know, they think this is righteousness. This is their righteousness. This is their right doing. Praise the Lord. But you need to understand that the Bible tells us that being ignorant of God's righteousness, God is about to establish a righteousness that is by faith. Amen. And it's very interesting. When I was looking at this, I could see that God, in his infinite mercy, he would allow the unbeliever to do this righteousness. Because, you see, can the unbeliever do that righteousness by himself? He doesn't have that strength. But he wants to do good. And I found a scripture in the Bible that shows me that, yes, God actually does help them. He does help them to do good. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord, if you look at that scripture, the eyes of the Lord run to and through the whole earth, searching for those whose hearts are perfect towards him, so that he can be strong on their behalf. Praise the Lord. God does this. He does this for every unbeliever. He does this for your neighbor down the road. He does this for the Muslim that lives next door to you. He does this for your unbeliever boss in the office. You know, if he did not do this, you know the consequences. The consequences would be that sin would have its dominion all over the place, and you will not be able to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty and serve God. So God needs for the sin in the sinners to be quelled. It needs to be subdued. God needs for any the sinners that want to do righteousness, that have it in their heart to be at least good, he needs for them to be able to achieve it to some degree. He needs that to happen. Praise the Lord. A good example that came to me was Abimelech. We've mentioned this before, but Abimelech was an unbeliever king. Praise the Lord. And because of the story, let's just read it. There are some things I'd like to bring out. In Genesis 20, let's read from verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. Next verse, please. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, thou slay also a righteous nation. Next verse, please. He said not unto me, she is my sister, and she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. When I thought about this, it occurred to me that Abimelech, he likes women, of course. He likes women, he likes life, and he's a king, and he's a regular sinner probably. But it occurred to me that somewhere back there in his life, he must have said to himself that, though I like women, I will not touch another man's wife. I like women, I didn't say I don't like them, bring them, but I will not touch another man's wife. It's not good. Now, he made this decision. He had no power to keep it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. At that time, there was no Ten Commandments. Not that he was following them, even if there was. So what happened then? God at that time saw this. The Bible says, "He's searching for the hearts that are perfect towards Him." So He saw this little bit of perfectness towards Him, in one particular uprightness towards Him, in one particular area. Even though he is a sinner, he had his faults, but this one particular thing, he listened to his conscience and he said, "I want to uphold that thing," but he didn't have the power to do so. So God, in his mercy, looking through the whole earth, saw him and said, "I will help you to do that one thing." Amen. And so he strengthened him. How? With mercy. Even though he didn't know him, he strengthened him with mercy. And throughout the year, so it came to the time when he took Abraham's wife. And you can see the heart cry here. Said, I did not know he was his wife. If I had known. And God said, "I held you. I kept you." As he has been keeping him all that time. Praise the Lord. This is the same thing that happens to myriads of people all around. Every unbeliever has his experience. Every believer also has his. Every human being has his experience. God keeps them. Some people say to themselves, "Yes, this far and no more. I will sin this far and no more." Well, it's not good to sin, but the no more, I will use my mercy to help you stand there. Amen. While you have his tender mercies over all his works, the Bible says, Pastor used the scripture earlier on, the Bible says, "There is none good but God." And it is true. All goodness that you see anybody doing, it comes from God. Amen. Who is strengthening that person with mercy, whether he knows God or not. Consciously or not. So this is how the whole world does their righteousness. So, if the world does their righteousness like this, why can't we simply continue doing it like that? Why can't we just continue going on like that? God will strengthen us with His mercy and continue. Do you know why? Because you cannot continue doing that, holding the truth in unrighteousness. God will reveal His truth to you. After some time, that righteousness that you are doing, God is giving you mercy. He's giving you mercy to do it. But He will come to you and say, "Look, this is a better way of doing it. This is an honest way to do it. Get to know Me." He will reveal more of His truth to you. And see how you react to it. Some people, they will step back. And say, "No, I'm okay with my righteousness. I've been doing it all this time. I don't need God." But others will draw close to Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So why can't we continue this way? Because, well, I'll give you three good reasons. One is that it's costing Zion. Where is that mercy coming from? It's coming from God. But He's channeling it through Zion. The Bible says that, that the salvation of Israel come out of Zion. The same thing can be extrapolated to, that the salvation of the world is coming out of Zion. The rod of His strength is coming out of Zion. And it's going forth to break the nations. It's going forth to heal our own nation. It's going forth to bring His kingdom to come and His will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what's happening. So it's coming out of Zion. Praise the Lord. But, I mean, it can't just keep giving, showing mercy and showing mercy and showing it to where it is not bringing forth any fruit. After some time, he requires it to bring forth fruit. Praise the Lord. Amen. And And like I said, let's read the scripture. I will take us there. God cannot continue to sustain the world who holds the truth in unrighteousness without judging it. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Shall we read together? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Next verse, please. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. Just hold it there for a while. This is a time When we said that God wants to reveal his righteousness. But at the same time, his wrath is being revealed in those that hold righteousness, hold truth in unrighteousness. So we can see here that God has a gestation period. It doesn't just keep giving you mercy and giving you mercy and just dashing you mercy like that and expecting, and just continue. He has a period. He expects something back. He expects it to achieve something because it's not in vain. He doesn't do anything in vain, praise the Lord. The goodness of God brings men to repentance, leads men to repentance. And the third thing I want to mention is this. Unfortunately, it's very sad, but the majority of the church does their righteousness this same way also. The same way we did it when we were unbelievers, by the mercy of God. We pray, use our faith for so many things. We use our faith for healing. We use our faith to prosper. We use our faith for divine protection. We use our faith to help ourselves in so many different ways. But when it comes to righteousness, we just do our best. We just get up, go out, and do our best, and try and be nice. Praise the Lord. This is something that God is going to change, because you see, in order to make a distinction between the righteousness of the world and the righteousness of God, there has to be something that changes. Praise the Lord. How is God dealing with this? That same Romans in 1:28, it tells us, it says that even as they did not want to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind, to do those things that are not convenient. What do you mean by things that are not convenient? Things that are against the conscience. So what happens is there's a gradual withdrawal of that mercy. A gradual withdrawal of that mercy. So what you see on the news, when you turn on the news, that seems to be getting worse and worse, is that gradual withdrawal. You see, normally good men go out and do something very, very wicked. You go out and kill, take a gun and go out and kill all classmates in a school. You see them doing things that are unthinkable. This was my son. I don't believe this. This is my neighbor. I don't believe. I've known him all these years. He could never do this. Or even themselves thinking that, look at the economy even here now, putting their hands to iniquity and justifying it and saying, this is the sign of the times. Everybody has to do it. I'm only doing my own thus far. Other people are doing their own much further. Obviously, I must be righteous more. God is withdrawing that mercy a little bit at a time. And the consequence is that if you're honest to yourself in your heart, the person will begin to see that, look at what I did today. I don't normally behave that way. My standard is this. Remember Saul? He put out all the witches. He, in his zeal for righteousness, he said, send all the witches out of the land. Then It got to a time when the pressure was so much, he did not hear God either by Urim or Thummim. And so he said, oh, let's go and find a witch. So it puts a question to all men. It says, look, is either you are honest to yourself in your heart and you accept the truth that God is showing you, or mercy is withdrawn and you discover that love is growing cold. This is Christians now. Love is going cold towards the Lord. How is it possible for us to remain eligible for God's mercy? I believe that, as the scripture says in Hosea 10:12, we sow to ourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. We break up our fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon us. This is something that, as we've been told, we're coming into this new year of mercy to that rejoices over judgment, mercy that enables us to be faithful, and mercy to triumph always. I believe this mercy is the story of Zion. And Zion, this is the story of Zion because the Bible says that a set time of favor has come to favor Zion, and so God will arise and have mercy on her. So there is a level of mercy that will increase because it's a set time of God's favor on Zion, but there's also a level of mercy that is withdrawn for those that hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so as we move into this year, I know I believe it is a time where we need to tell ourselves the truth in our heart. Speak more of the truth in our heart. The Bible says, who shall ascend unto thy holy hill? Those that have clean hands and speak the truth in their hearts. The Bible talks about seeking righteousness in Proverbs 21:21. If you just read that, can you put that on the board, please? He that followeth after righteousness. Let's read that together. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. It's a time to follow after righteousness. It's a time to break up our fallow ground. Places where we have hardened ourselves to truth. And it becomes a bit impervious. It doesn't mean you can't plant there, but you have to break up that ground. You have to break it up. I believe it's a time of sowing mercy as we come to pray. You know, every time we come here to pray, Pastor exhorts us and tells us that, look, if we pray well, we sow mercy. The whole world needs mercy. So many of those prayers that we're praying, you know, we pray God's perfect will, plan, and purpose. God's perfect will, plan, and purpose is like kingdom come, thy will be done. And we may not be seeing what, you may not be seeing everything that you think you should be seeing for the measure of prayers and groaning and intercession that you're doing. But what is happening, God is using a lot of that to sow mercy to the world. And as you are so, and you are part of that process, and of course you will reap that same mercy also. It's something that we need in this day, and this is basically the short word of exhortation that I have. I pray the Lord will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We want to emphasize what Pastor Wally has shared with us about the fact that God's righteousness revealed. And like you said, you know, we have the righteousness of God inside us. We have right standing with God by the blood of Jesus inside. But then that righteousness has to come on the outside by right doing at a level that is higher than what the world has. The world too, you know, like we said on Sunday, a lot of good people in the world, good in quotes now, but good, you know. For instance, I was thinking about somebody today, you know, is a friend of mine, but, you know, as I thought about him, I remembered Cornelius. Cornelius was initially not a Christian. He was a good man, you know, and God, you know, testified of his goodness in the sense of the honesty of his heart. The Bible says he prayed. Now, he didn't pray like we, because he didn't know God, you know, just like, you know, many of our friends and brethren, maybe who are Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus or whatever religion, you know. But God, you know, God still hears those prayers. He still hears those prayers. He because he's looking for those whose hearts are perfect towards him. And then God, now knowing the kind of person Cornelius was, you know, had to send an angel to him and then send him to Peter. And finally, Peter now told him what to do, you know, to get born again. And then he did get born again. But the point is, there are many people that are like Cornelius, like the Roman centurion, you know, like Abimelech, you know, who are people in the world. They're not born again, but the mercy of God is operating through them, upon them rather, and causing them to do a certain level of righteousness. Now, we the church, who now know God, you know, properly, our own righteousness, the right standing, or rather the right doing that we operate, should be higher than that one that those people just get from the general mercy of God. We still have the mercy of God. So by the time you superimpose what we do by our faith, speaking God's word, prayer, and all of that, and then God's mercy comes on top of it, that will cause us to triumph always and give us a level of righteousness that will shine, that will be revealed to the world far higher than what, you know, the world normally sees. And basically, this is what the Lord is trying to tell us. He wants us to reveal, he says, the righteousness of God. He said, "This I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." He says, for means because. Inside the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God. This right standing, firstly, then later on, right doing from faith to faith. In other words, the thing that will make you do right, like God will do right, is the right standing that the blood of Jesus gives you, giving you access to the life of God, which gives you the supernatural ability to do right the way God would do it, and then do it consistently, which is higher than anything that the world can ever display. And it is that righteousness that the world doesn't see. You know, they don't see it. You know, in fact, many good unbelievers, and I use again good in quotes, you know, and I used to be like that to some degree before I became a Christian. You know, many good unbelievers will look at each other and say, "What are you talking about? I'm even better than you." In one area or the other, not in all areas, but you know, some of them are maybe nicer. Look at, for example, I just brought to my remembrance, you know, the Good Samaritan. Samaritan was not even a Jew. You know, they were hybrid Jews. They believed in the God of Abraham, but they were seen as not really Jewish because they were half Jew, half Gentile. The priest passed by, he didn't do anything. The Levite passed by, he didn't do anything. But the man who was attacked by robbers on the road, it was this. And Jesus is very, very particular using that parable. It was this half Jew, that they despised. You know, when they were going to abuse Jesus, they said, "Did we say you are mad and you are a Samaritan?" That was the way they used to insult people in those days. You know, they said, "You have a devil. We say you're a Samaritan." You know, that's how it was. A kind of it was a racial slur. You know, so the Lord Jesus, you know, used that Samaritan now. And this guy who doesn't know God, like the Levite knows God, like the priest knows God, is the guy now who now helped the person who had a need. Now, it's that God is trying to tell us. He says the righteousness of God is revealed. God's righteousness has to be revealed through us, you know, to shine, that will be greater than what the world can do by the mercy of God. Because not only will we have the mercy of God that the world has, then on top of it, you know, we have the righteousness of God, we have the right standing, we have the power of God that will enable us to do everything God wants us to do. And that is what is going to challenge the world. That's what challenged them about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said something which I think is very great. He said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" And that's a great challenge. Very few people can throw that kind of thing out. He said, "Which of you? Can any of you say in any time of interactions I've had with any of you that I have done this or I have done that?" That's a great level of righteousness. You know? And he said it with confidence. When they were going to stone that woman who was caught in adultery, you know, he said, "Okay, no problem. The person that is without sin amongst you," he said, "let him cast the first stone." He put a level of righteousness out there that nobody could attain. And the only person who had it was him. It was Jesus himself. Jesus could have stoned that woman and he would have been okay. Because he wasn't convinced of any sin. Then he said, "No man condemn you." He said, "Neither do I condemn you." He said, "Go and sin no more." So he demonstrated, he revealed, God's righteousness revealed. He revealed a level of righteousness that was higher than what were obtained, you know, in his environment, you know, at that time. In fact, anywhere in the world. You know, but at least in his own environment at that time, you know, he revealed a level of, he actually revealed God's righteousness. He showed the people what God was like and what God would do in every situation. And like I said on Sunday, you know, because that it beautifully dovetails with this, I've never heard myself say it like that before. It was by the Spirit. Jesus would convict you of sin without condemning you. His life will show that you have sin in your life. But he will not condemn you because of that sin. He will use that conviction to reconcile you and bring you to himself. For instance, the woman at the well, Jesus convicted her of her sin. He said, "Go and call your husband." The woman said, "I don't have any husband." You know what Jesus said? He said, "You have had 5 husbands. And the person you are living with now is not even your husband." Watch the next statement. That was the balance. He had convicted her, but he was not going to condemn her. He said, "But in that you said truly." Now, she didn't tell all the truth. She only told a little part of the truth. But that little truth that she told, Jesus latched onto it. And said, "So in that you said truly that you have no husband. You know, because you're not married to the person. But what you're doing is wrong." Now, he didn't dwell on that. He now said, you know, if you know the person who is talking to you and all of that, you know, "I am the Messiah." And he said, "The Messiah is going to come." He said, I who speak to you am he." And then he convicted her. The Holy Spirit through him convicted the woman of the sin, but did not condemn the woman. That was why she felt free. And said, so he went into the village. you know, dropped her water pot, went in the village and said, look at, come and take, you see this man, he has told me everything, every bad thing I've ever done. He's told me everything about my life, yet he has not rejected me. Yet he has not condemned me. And then, you know, she went to call the people and they came and they listened to him and they themselves now, you know, got born again, you know, or at least began to believe in Jesus. Now, the point here is this, brethren. That's the righteousness that has to be revealed. You are righteous. You do the right thing. Your life, your lifestyle convicts the people who are around you who are doing the wrong thing, but does not condemn them. And then God now uses it to draw them to God, rather than to make them condemned and to run away from God. It's a fine balance. It's only the Holy Spirit that can that gives you that balance to convict without condemning. Sometimes when I'm around some of my friends who are not born again yet, and I use the word yet very emphatically, you know, some of my old CMS classmates and things like that, you know, and we're talking and we're laughing and, you know, and all of that. When it comes to things like maybe beer or so Lubis here, don't. I'm telling you the truth. They just say, pastor is around. And we all laugh about it. But they won't do it. They will just say, let's respect. And I don't condemn them. You know, I don't beat them over the head with about it and all that. You know, we just laugh about it. But they will know that, you know, the truth of what I'm saying is a conviction. They are convicted by that righteousness. They know I won't do that. And when they're doing it in front of me, they feel uncomfortable. The same, they won't crack lewd jokes. They won't say bad things, you know, that they normally would say if I was not there. And then we'll all laugh about it and all of that. Then I'll say, God is going to catch you too. I say, God has caught me, so God will catch you too. So, brethren, what we want to take away from this is the fact that there is a right doing. Everybody say righteousness. Say there's right standing. And then there's right doing. See, the right standing is inside. I would say the right standing is inside. Men cannot see it. But the right doing is outside. Men can see it. It is the right doing on the outside that God wants men to see. He wants it to be revealed. He wants us to live in this world like the Lord Jesus did. You know, full of mercy and kindness and love and right doing that will be attractive. And yet, men will not like sin. Like that Zacchaeus guy, you know, that Jesus, that scripture has always amazed me. Jesus entering Jericho, and this man is a short man, so he climbs up the sycamore tree. Then he's looking, you know, because, you know, Jesus was like a celebrity back in those days, you know, everybody had heard about the prophet from Nazareth, and he always moved around with the crowd. Everybody was, you know, hustling and bustling, and he's coming into town, you know. And this man runs up, because he's too short, he won't see because of the crowd. So he runs up to the tree, and he's looking on the, you know, from the tree, and he's seeing Jesus pass by. Jesus does a very strange thing. He stops, and he looks up. And behold, Zacchaeus. I don't know whether Jesus knew him before. I doubt. Maybe the man had a terrible reputation in town. And everybody knew that this guy was one of the bad guys in town, man. You know, tax collector, you know, very corrupt. Made his money by defrauding people and everything. You know, possibly Jesus had heard, you know, or just the Holy Spirit told him. He just stopped and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm staying at your house tonight. The thing blew the guy away. I mean, it's not like Jesus would not even go near such a guy with a 10-foot pole. He's a very corrupt, very terrible person, you know, who's been living off the flesh of his people, you know, using the, cooperating with the Romans to oppress his own people. You know, when they say your tax is 10,000 naira, Zacchaeus will come and say it's 50,000. You better pay it now. If you don't pay, you go with four or five Roman soldiers. They will deal with you, you will pay the 50,000. When he takes the 50,000, they'll put 10,000 for the government. That is the normal thing. Then he's going to give 10,000 to Pilate, give 10,000 to Herod. Then 20,000 stays for Zacchaeus. Nothing has changed. Hello? That's the kind of person he was. Some people were killed. Some people were beaten. Some people were oppressed by the Romans. So the people hated him. That's why they hated. That's why they called them publicans. They hated tax collectors. That same man, Jesus said, I'm coming to your house tonight. The man came down fast. He was so joyful. He said, Jesus didn't tell him to do it. He was the one who said it. I'm talking about conviction. Righteousness revealed. Jesus was not the one who said, do this or do that. Jesus did not give him a condition for staying in his house. Jesus did not say, oh, if you give your goods to the poor and you repent of everything you do, I'll come and stay in your house. Jesus just said, I'm coming to stay in your house. It was as the man came down, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you know, were inside the heart of that man, said, ah, for God to be this merciful to me, for this great man of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for him to want to, God, he said, today, everybody that I've ever defrauded, I'm going to return fourfold. You know, I'm half my goods, I'm going to give it to the poor. You know what Jesus said? He said, salvation has come to this house. He said, for he is also a son of Abraham. But the point is this, you know, what convinced that man? What convicted him? It was the righteousness in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was perfect. He didn't have any sin in him and all that. Yet, the power of God that was coming out of the Lord Jesus Christ was so that he could convict Zacchaeus and yet not condemn him. And he won him over. And you know, this was not Zacchaeus, that was the other guy, you know, Matthew. The guy who wrote it. You know, that too was a publican. He became an apostle. You know? He used to take, you know, all those things too. You know? And this guy threw a big party. Threw a big party. And invited all his tax collector friends. And all these terrible guys from town who had been chopping money left, right, and center. You know? And they were all, Jesus came, they did the party in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And invited all these people, and they were all eating and drinking, you know, wine and enjoying themselves. The religious folks were scandalized. Ah! Don't you know what kind of guys these are? Jesus said, those that are well don't have need of a physician. He said, it's the sick that need a doctor. You know, you are righteous, you don't need anything. But these ones. But the point is, Jesus used his life, the righteousness of God revealed. He used it to draw, it was light, to draw people to God, convict them of their sin without condemning them. Look at that scripture we Pastor Wiley mentioned, and I'll close on that. It's Proverbs chapter 21:21. I call it the modus operandi for this year 2017, where mercy will triumph. I said mercy will triumph in your life. Now, I like it in the King James, because the King James is very accurate in the way they translated it, you know, from the original Hebrew. He said, he that followeth after right standing, let's say it that way, and mercy, findeth life, right doing, and honor. Now, this scripture captures, it encapsulates the operation of the mercy of God, and how that mercy and righteousness will now help us to perfect right doing and bring us to a place of honor. It's not the honor of men now. This is honor that only God can give. He says, you follow after. So you follow after right standing. That's where you're honest. You confess your sins. You're cleaning with the blood of Jesus. So you maintain that right standing with God. And then you need the mercy of God on top of it. Then it was going to give you life, this Zoe. Then that life will now enable you to have right doing. And consistent right doing will bring you to honor. And this is the righteousness of God that is now revealed. It is the one men can see. You know, there's something inside the human heart. Call it conscience. It's God who put it there. You know, somehow people will know if you are fooling them. Hello? Hello? They will not, they cannot prove it in the court of law. They cannot bring evidence. But you know, when you see somebody who is a hypocrite, or you hear them talking all that, deep down inside, you will know, this guy is not for real, man. That's how Zacchaeus knew Jesus was for real. That's how the woman at the well knew Jesus was for real. She didn't know Jesus before. Now, it's just that afternoon she met him. But by the time he revealed what he knew about her life by the word of wisdom, by the Holy Spirit, and then his attitude towards her, which was not a condemnatory kind of attitude, but a reconciliation kind of attitude. He said, why are you talking to me? He said, Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She knew. That's why she went, come see a man who's told me everything. I just told her was one thing she did. But, you know, she assumed that there's nothing in her life God has not told this man. And I want to say this, and I've said it before, but it bears repetition. You know, that woman must have been quite a woman. Not one, not two, not three. Five. She must have had, I'm sure the men too had their faults, but, you know, she must have been a very difficult person. Hallelujah. Now, if God can help the woman at the well, he can help you. Hallelujah. No matter how bad you are, no matter how difficult you are, if God could help that woman, God can help anybody. Are you listening to me? You know, and that is the that is the lesson here. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think it is. In the King James, 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken. No. Where the scripture says that, you know, we are... Aha! It's chapter 5, is verse 11. I'm going to stop with that. 2 Corinthians, that's it. He said, knowing therefore... I didn't hear you. The terror of the Lord, we do what? We persuade men... But we are made what? Manifest unto God. And I trust also are made where? Where? You can't fool all the people all the time. Somehow, they will pick the truth by the Spirit. In their conscience, people will know a person who is real. They will know a person who is honest. They will know a person who is sincere, you know. And then they will know a person who is just a charlatan, or who is just a con man, or who is just in it for money. I remember a terrible experience I had. Well, it wasn't terrible for me, but you know, when I look back now, this was many, many years ago. I was a young man. I hadn't even become born again at that time. You know, we were at a friend's house with his dad. And his brother, who were all students in UI back in those days. And we were watching a television program, you know, and it was one of the evangelists. I can't remember rightly, you know, it was either or Roberts or some one of the evangelists in America, you know, TV, whatever, you know, and they were, you know, praying for people and, you know, God is going to be good to you, and God's going to do this for you, and God's going to bless you, and all that. And then they put money into the thing. You know, and you need to send, I don't know whether $100 or whatever. I can never forget it. Even back then, I wasn't even a Christian. I became a Christian later on, you know. But I what that man said hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, this man is a con man. And they're just trying to con the people out of their money. Now I'm a Christian, and I understand, you know, about offerings and all of that. But it was the taste. It was the way in which it was tied. The miracle was now tied to the money. And the way in which it was said. That, you know, and I left the place believing what the man said. That is a con man. A bunch of guys who just want to con people for that. Made manifest in your consciences. Why can't we just keep it clean? You know, it's not wrong taking offerings. Let's take offerings in this church. By the grace of God, we're going to take an offering soon. But I'm not going to tie the offering to the miracle. That is wrong. I can't say now that it's because of the offering you brought that God is going to do this in your life. God will do it in your life whether you bring an offering or not. He's going to do it in your life because of your faith. Now, when we take up the offering, you can give whatever God puts in your heart to give. But it's not a condition for the miracle. It is things like this that have brought... I was a young boy. I was just 16, 17 that back then, you know. But I've never forgotten it. The man got up, he was disgusted. He said, "I was like, these are your people, you know, because my friend was a Christian, I wasn't, and his brother, you know." He said, see. And there was truth in what the man said. Now, I don't agree with everything the man said, but there was truth in what the man said because the way it was presented, you know, it will be made manifest in the consciences of men. And then when I became a Christian later, and got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and began to understand these things, I now saw what that man was saying, you know, that it's not wrong to take up an offering, but the way that man did it was wrong. And he put a bad taste in the mouth of the unbeliever. So we must allow God's right doing to be revealed in a way that will be made manifest in the consciences of the men we come into contact with, so that we will convict them, we will not condemn them, and we will draw them to Christ. Let us pray. Talk to God. Hallelujah. We're to convict and not to condemn. We're to draw men. We have been given a ministry of reconciliation, not a ministry of condemnation.
There is a longing.
There is a longing.
Only you, Lord.
Only you can still.
A raging tempest.
My soul is thirsty, Lord,
to know you as I'm known.
Drink from the river.
Drink from the river
that flows before your throne.
Take me deeper, Lord.
Take me deeper.
Promise of your grace.
My heart is now.
My
sunrise.
Sunrise to sunrise, I will see your face.
Drawn by your spirit,
drawn by your spirit,
to the promise of your grace.
My heart is found in you.
Will abide
here in your presence,
here in your presence,
in your presence,
forever satisfied.
This Christian life is a relationship with a person. And what we want to do is deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I believe the word. Like Mary said to the angel, how can these things be? I don't even know a man in her own case. And you and I will ask yourself, how can this, how can I ever get to a place where I'll be like Jesus in this earth, where I will reveal the righteousness of God, authentic right doing that all men will see and they'll be convicted, they'll be made manifest in their consciences. How will this thing be? The same answer the angel gave Mary is the same answer to us today. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. So that holy thing inside you will be called the Son of God. And Mary answered, and that's the answer I want you to give tonight. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Everybody say, be it unto me according to the word of God. I will reveal the righteousness of God that will convict men and not condemn them. And will be made manifest in their consciences. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight. I confess our sins. And so cling with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've brought to me tonight. Put it into remembrance that you want your right doing by the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the power of your Holy Spirit and your mercy to be revealed to the world, so they will see it and it will convict them of their sin, but not condemn them, and draw them to you and be made manifest in their consciences. Oh God, oh God, oh God, make me a channel of your righteousness that will help men and bring them to the true knowledge of the true God. in Jesus' name. Nikatoloma talamakotofres. Librine toloma shalengardolos. Librigitofridias. Lombregatoloma shalakitofres. Nongrigomatoloma shaka. Lombregatolomatolo. Lombregomatolomatulumtufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufrufr In Jesus' name. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood.